we can handle the workload. To go through our report won't take me too long. It's a relatively, comparatively short list. To summarize, we had two cases involving customer service representatives. Those are the people who meet the public when they physically come in to talk about issues to do with their iPass. One of our customer service reps was a relatively new employee and had been found to have taken some cash as well as mishandling some credit card receipts. That employee, after we interviewed her, resigned her employment. The second customer service representative also misused credit card receipts. We also found to have been dismissing violations. They had the opportunity to talk to customers about violations, but they have a limit as to what they can do, and she was exceeding that limit, and that employee resigned. I've listed four other investigations involving toll collectors out on the system. Of those four, one was terminated and three resigned after we interviewed them. The terminated employee was a summer replacement, temporary, and for whatever reason just really started pocketing cash quite a bit. In a very short period in July, in about 1 week, the employee pocketed over $2,000. And so it was very blatant. And that employee was terminated. The others were longer employees and had accumulated quite a bit of money over a longer period of time. But when confronted, they did admit that they had been taking money. And there is a policy with the tollway that thefts are not acceptable, no matter what the amount. And so they did resign. We believe all of them have agreed to reimburse. The tollway should get back about $9,000 from those employees. The investigations that we listed for this period involving recommendations involved, first of all, a woman business enterprise company. And it was a case where they are required to provide a certification of their position of being a WBE. That certification in this case was to come from the city of Chicago, and it was late in coming. And we have been told by others and this company that it sometimes takes a while to get that certification to them from the city. But regardless of that fact, what happened was a clerk within the company altered a document so that the date appeared in the time period that it was supposed to be. Just trying to help in order to get the paperwork in, she felt that that was the way to handle it. It certainly wasn't. What we did look at, though, was the fact that the prime, at the time that this occurred, was waiting for the paperwork, but the prime did not have a contract with that company at that point. The tollway did not have a contract with that company at that point. And the intent here by the clerk was not to defraud. When we talked with the clerk, it was clear that it was the frustration of dealing with paperwork that had not been provided. So we recommended that engineering take a look at the company and further relationships. And while there had been some misconduct, it wasn't, let's say, fatal in as much as this company is concerned. And I believe engineering has decided that they can continue with a further presentation of the correct documents with the contract to service the work. And the other one that we've listed is a previous investigation that we worked on back in 2012. There was a concern that work was being done on a contract that was not actually being done by the DBE company that had been hired to do the work. That was resolved at that time, but now that the three contracts that were involved with the prime have been closed out, there was some concern about the amount of, first of all, profit made by the DBE. And we looked at the payments that were made to this DBE over the three contracts. And while they made quite a bit of money, around $3 million, there is nothing that precludes a company from making profit. That's the American way. And therefore, that is not an issue that we continue to look at. What we did look at was the actual work done by the DBE as opposed to any work done by a company that was not a DBE. And we recommended that Engineering and Diversity take a close look at this series of contracts, the three contracts, and make sure that they were comfortable with how much work had been performed by the DBE as opposed to work by the non-DBE company. There is still, I believe, as of today, a conflict between those two companies as to how much may be owed to the non-DBE company, but that's something that those two companies are going to have to resolve. We also noted that there was a contract that the board had approved back in 2013 to obtain construction management services system-wide, and we requested any reports that company may have produced with regard to these types of questions, because the company is supposed to be providing information to the tollway about the performance of the DBE companies and whether or not the information is being provided. And the last page gives you a summary of our work. I'm not going to go through each type of investigation that we've been conducting. Suffice it to say, during the six-month period, we opened a total of 217 cases and closed 208 cases, so we've maintained our busy status during this period, and I don't anticipate it will change. But as I said, I'm very pleased to have the extra person on our staff at this point. That is what I had to present to you today. If you have any questions.
Thank you. About this, and again, we're happy to have discussion or questions or comments generally about the report if there's anything specific as to a particular case, but which would probably pertain to a personnel matter. We would do those in the closed session, in the executive session, because those are not to be part of a public discussion. So are there any general comments or questions that anybody has?
I just have one. Chip, on the general summary of activity, it says that your office received 41 complaints from citizens. Does that include, is that citizens outside of the tollway? Is that differentiating between an employee and a...
Yes, we get routinely several calls a week from not employees, but patrons of the tollway, and they're typically concerned about their violations, and they want our office to assist them. What we normally do is explain again the process, and we put them in touch with our business systems people and the IPAS people, and we ask for a response back as to how that particular person's case was handled to follow up and make sure that they get the answers that they're looking for.
Any other comments? I would just point out that, obviously, in the summary, many of these cases were brought to the IG from people within the tollway system and people who are in supervisory positions or audit positions, which I think is a great commentary on the way this office should be working, that people within the system feel comfortable going forward and knowing that there is a way to investigate whether or not the other people who were in the system had violated some kind of law, rule, or procedure. and feel that the IG is a balanced and fair place to have those activities undertaken, and it's reassuring, I assume. And I know from talking to Christie that people in management know that there's a place to take those kinds of complaints and concerns, so it's working the way it should. And we appreciate both the referrers and the investigators, and then there is an iterative process where the Inspector General makes a set of recommendations and management has an opportunity to respond to those so that there is a way to come to some conclusion about the best way to make recommendations and to implement those recommendations. So thank you for working through that. It was a new office 5 years ago, and I think we've done a great job in institutionalizing it in a positive way within the institution, which, as many of you know from your other work, is not always the case, but sometimes there is friction and tension, and I believe we've overcome that problem, and that's great.
I certainly agree. We are able to self-initiate investigations per the statute that was passed, but the overwhelming majority of our work is initiated because of people coming to us from the tollway.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did you have anything else, Christy?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
In that case, we will turn to the consent agenda. I will give my boring caveat, which is that these items have been reviewed at the committee level, so although it may feel to somebody looking at it for the first time as if we're roaring through these very quickly, they have been reviewed in detail at the committee level, and if any of the members of the board have had any questions, they've gotten the materials in advance, they've had an opportunity to review these and ask any questions. So they typically are not questions as we go through. So let's take up the two finance items. Is there anything further that you would like to comment on, Mike? No? Okay. Director Peterson already talked about them. May I hear a motion then?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? I have no indication that anybody wants to recuse. Bless you.
Thank you.
So, or abstain. So, thank you. Procurement? Any comments that anybody wants to make on those? I think it might be helpful just to hear a couple of sentences on job, just because it's a new concept, not new in the world, but new for us, and I think it is a little bit complicated.
Yeah, John, you have a really nice presentation. Maybe just do a quick synopsis on it.
Yeah, sure, no problem. So job order contracting is part of one of our streamlining initiatives that we identified earlier this year to the board. And again, it's been around for about 25 to 30 years.
For other entities.
Right, for other entities. Unfortunately, not for the tollway. And this will be utilized for facility-based projects. And there are two phases that comprise of this procurement. The first one is the award that is going to be presented today, which is selecting an administrator to create and implement the actual JOC program. And that award is being recommended to the Gordian Group. And then once they get on board with the tollway, they're going to work with us to develop our JOC program. They're going to assist us in writing an invitation for bid in which we're going to select the contractors that actually be hired to perform the services that we identify throughout the period of the term. So again, this is something that's been around for a long time, but it's new to us here at the tollway. It's been around the university system, but not in other state agencies. And again, we're looking forward to it. We think this will be a great initiative here.
Can you explain the purpose just quickly? Why
sure.
did you do this?
We're doing this because, as you know, through some of the challenges that we had in the procurement process, you know, a regular RFP process could take 9 to 12 months. An IFB could take 6 to 7 months. This is just another
tool. An IFB is just a straight go out, some commodity item, low bid.
Right.
It's probably one of the simplest forms of procuring something, right?
Right.
So getting your paper towels.
Yeah, getting the paper towel,
right.
Getting the mufflers. Getting
So that could take 6 to 7 months, and this is just really another tool to put in our toolbox and use. So when we have a project, say to put up a flagpole, for example, instead of going through a whole procurement process, we could just task a job contractor to go ahead and perform that service. So it makes us more efficient. It's less procurements that we have to go through, and these are all competitively bid on the front end.
So for instance, the skylights. Some of you have passed buckets on our stairs as you've been walking up, yes. They've been there for some time, on and off, and that's because the skylights have been leaking. We've gone out a couple of times to get bids, and we haven't received any. for repair. So this would be something where we'd have somebody on standby, ready to make those types of repairs, because as you know, if you don't maintain facilities properly, they deteriorate more quickly, and the cost of the repair is ultimately a lot larger. And John's team has done a great job of working with operations and Jeff's group to, you know, try to get something going in this job order contracting arena, which again is new to us, but has been around in other for other places for a long, long time.
Yeah, and another brief example is for emergency procurement. So if you recall last year, I think it was maybe like a 98 degree day when an air conditioning system or HVAC system went out, I think at Plaza 61. So we didn't have a contract in place for that, so we had to enter an emergency for a vendor to come out and repair. Well, with JOC in place, we just tasked a contractor to go out to that site and fix the problem. And, you know,
something, and there's
else,
a predetermined price. I mean, all of that is very transparent.
It is.
Right?
It
so
is.
You don't kind of, if you're not over the barrel, then in an emergency situation.
And something else that I think we're really proud and encouraged on here, it's definitely going to increase our diversity participation. So a lot of these individual contracts over time, there's very low to none participation at all. But in the contractor procurement, which is not today, but it's number two down the road, we're going to probably have a goal anywhere from 20 to 30%. So we're definitely going to include a lot more businesses that are not included in our procurements today.
And just to underscore, there are, remain the safeguards. We're going through a procurement process. Everything is done the same way. It's just done in advance. Then you have the pool of people, and you can assign them to go out. So we're not giving up any of the safeguards that we have. But we are then gaining the capacity to move more quickly once we have the job.
And from a management perspective, I guess the last thing I would say is, and it's the same with the vendor managed inventory initiative, which you might be familiar with and we've recently implemented here. You know, the tollway, because of these long durations to enter into contracts, a lot of contracts would expire before we could enter a new contract, or the CMS master contract that was available to us had expired and there wasn't a new contract in place. So this gives us an opportunity to not have to then, you know, purchase one-offs because we don't have an overarching contract in place, but to deal with this issue of a large number of expired contracts where we just didn't have a good mechanism to procure things easily. So,
thank you.
Okay. So we can take procurement 1 through 7. May I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? I see no recusals or abstentions. So on engineering, I think we need to present number 2.
So item 2, it's one of these foundational engineering contracts that we have. This is for our general engineering consultant. And it actually is for the last 1 year contract renewal that's allowed under contract 9973 in the amount of $17,053,000. It is with AECOM. They are our general engineering consultant right now. This renewal is going to cover their services in 2015, so it's going to go from January 1, 2015 through December 31st, 2015. When we first brought this contract to the board, it had a term of 5 years altogether. We had a 3-year initial term where we negotiated with them what the fee would be, and then we've had 2 allowable 1-year renewals following that. I think the board may recall that we recently brought a supplement to the board back in June. This was to handle some additional impacts of the Move Illinois program. So when the initial contract came on board, it was before Move Illinois was actually approved. So we have been trying to adjust and meet the demands of all the, you know, many contracts that we're doing now compared to what we had before. As I mentioned, it's a foundational engineering contract. They perform some trust and venture services for us and also some technical services. On the trust and venture side, they do annual inspection reports. They issue us recommendations for our renewal or replacement account budget, and they also do some insurance certificates. On the technical services side, they're like the keeper of all of our standards and manuals and specifications, so they stay abreast of all the current requirements and changes in that world. They also do a lot of our plan reviews and all of our construction contracts, so that has definitely seen a big increase in volume of work under the Move Illinois program. And they also do auditing of construction documents out in the field for each and every one of our construction contracts, and that too is a lot, is a very increasing effort under the Move Illinois program. So the renewal amount, and I think Director Peterson mentioned this, it is very consistent with what we're spending on those services this year. I believe it's within 3%. And they have been meeting the DBE commitment throughout. So far, they have an overall goal that they're achieving, and we recommend that we move forward with the renewal.
This probably won't be a lot of way to work until we also.
Yeah, so that's one of the prohibitions included on these contracts. When we have three like this, the traffic engineer with CDM Smith, our program management office with HMTB, and our general engineering consultant with ACOM, they're preventing from doing any other work with the tollway. So they, because they serve in a capacity where they're overseeing, you know, kind of the overall program, they can't participate in the individual contracts, so they don't do any design or construction management individual contract services.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Question. For later. Okay, so are there any other questions, or are there any questions on engineering? Okay, well then, we can do number one, then I believe we have two recusals on number two. So may I hear a motion for number one, please?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals or abstentions. On number two, which we just heard, Director Peterson and Director Darcy both are recusing themselves. So may I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And there are the two recusals and any abstentions. Okay, so then I think we can take 3 through 12. May I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposition? No recusals or abstentions? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Director Peterson and Paul and your team. So let's move to legal. Liz?
Thank you, Chair. The legal department presented to the FAO committee two items, which were both intergovernmental agreements that Director Peterson discussed. Is there a need for any further discussion on those items?
Anybody have any questions on those two? Okay, well, let's take one and two, and we're going to do the third in executive session and then come back if we decide we should go on this one into full session. Okay. May I hear a motion on one and two, please?
No.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals or abstentions? Okay. Any unfinished business?
Madam Chairman?
I'm sorry, yes.
Can we go back to number two under finance?
Absolutely.
And I just noticed, looking at it, that there's enough zeros to the left of the decimal to add up to $1 million.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if that was intended to be $1 million or $10 million.
Aggregate amount is $10 million, $5 million per firm.
We just need to put another zero before the decimal point.
I just
Eagle eye.
Really clarify
Eagle
that.
Eye.
To clarify
Thank
that
you.
For
oh,
your
yeah.
reference.
Yeah.
Good catch. So we will assume that there's no objection to amending the way number two under finance is written. I think we all knew from reading the write-up what the intent was. Okay. Thank you. So that was unfinished business. I think that's the first time we've ever had an unfinished business. New business? Okay. We'll take a motion to go into executive session, please.
Senior management would recommend that the board entertain a motion to move into executive session to discuss certain topics which are exceptions to the Open Meetings Act, including litigation pursuant to Section 2C11, collective bargaining matters pursuant to Section 2C2, and the purchase of real property pursuant to Section 2C5, as well as any personnel matters pursuant to Section 2C1.
Thank you. May I hear a motion for that?
Motion.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? How long do you think you'll be? 15?
15 minutes? I think.
Okay, so let's go 10 after 10. Thank you very much. Okay, we're back on the air. We've been in executive session. The board has discussed and wishes to take a vote on item 3 under legal, which is the approval of the collective bargaining agreement with the service employees in the National Union. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions or refusals? Okay, thank you very much. May we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. We'll see you in October. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.